With that being said, guys, now's a good time to be a crypto investor. I hope everybody who's watching, is not sidelined. I hope, you know, this is now the time to zoom in and to pay attention, because it's going to be a crazy, crazy fun 2024. If you guys stuck through the bear market, don't close up shop now. I would say stick around and keep listening to Crypto 101.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast for the most special episode of the year. It is the end of year show, and what you just heard at the beginning of this episode was our fearless leader, Bryce Paul, 1 year ago today, saying that 2024 was going to be an exciting year. He said, if you survive the bear market, do not sell now. This is not the time to do it. Better times are ahead, and wow, what a year we had. Bryce, you said that 1 year ago today. And we're doing another end of year episode. Yep. And I am so excited to do this one. This is obviously the most exciting one we've done over the last, my tenure here. So this will be our third end of year episode. But what a call. That was literally the last clip soundbite that was played in the year of 2023. And here we are today wrapping up 2024.
What a year it's been. No, I mean, there's so much that lined up, at the end of last year. We were staring down the barrel of guaranteed launches for the Bitcoin ETFs. And from the conversations that we've had with guests on the show and behind the scenes with other hedge fund managers, it was just so obvious that the market was going to continue ripping, because we had really a new category of buyers entering the market. One of the things we always say here is, like, the only thing that ties together every single bull market in history is an ever-expanding universe of a new category of buyers, right? And so we had the whole meme of, like, institutional adoption is here. Like, it actually arrived with the Bitcoin ETFs. So that was just like my rallying cry, just to boost the morale of everything. Because in 2023 we got hit with a lot of different a lot of different what's it called, like, trials and tribulations, I guess you could say. Yeah, curveballs. Thank you. Like, when in 2023, like March, I remember, like, Silicon Valley Bank blew up, what we're seeing now in retrospect actually is that the FDIC and the SEC and the like, everybody kind of colluded to choke point the crypto banking industry. So that's a whole nother conversation with Silvergate and Signature and all that kind of stuff. But they weren't, like, defunct. Anyhow, 2023 was, like, kind of a good year, kind of not a good year. Like, altcoins did not participate in a lot of the rally. And so I still felt morale was low. 2024 obviously has been iconic. IBIT, which is BlackRock's Bitcoin ETF, is the fastest ETF in history to reach $50 billion. And not only is it the fastest in history, it did that five times faster than the next guy, than the next quickest one. So it did it in, like, 228 days. The other one took 1,300 days. It was some, like, Vanguard ETF or something like that. So very clearly, big flows, big interest, pensions buying crypto now, endowments now, buying crypto through the Bitcoin and Ethereum ETFs. So it's been wild. We're going to have a lot more ETFs launching next year. I think the flows are going to be much larger next year than they were this year. So we think, oh, wow, $50 billion into one ETF. And, all these other ETFs had, billions and billions. Next year is going to be even bigger. And the answer to that, the question is, like, why? And the answer is because there's so many funds that have been sitting on the sidelines, and their legal mandates are just like, we have to wait and watch these ETFs trade. Any ETF product, got to wait for them to trade for a year or so we could kind of monitor the liquidity, monitor the spreads, monitor the creation redemption process, monitor all these different factors that go into, are we going to offer this to our clients? And so now that we've had 1 year of trading history for all these ETFs in crypto, I mean, I think it's going to be wild. So, yeah, I've got all sorts of different thoughts and predictions that I'm excited to share here on the show. But yeah, Brendan, I take it you're equally as bullish as I am, and all the excitement here is percolating up in your soul just as much as it is mine.
Yeah, equally as bullish. And it's crazy thinking back at this year and everything that's happened. And then I can very confidently say that I'm expecting an even more bullish year next year. And so we're kind of ending up or wrapping up this year of 2024 after all these catalysts. We're talking the different kinds of cryptocurrency ETFs. We've seen approvals from Ethereum and Bitcoin. We've already seen applications for a handful of others. We talk about the halving. We talk about the supply squeeze that we're seeing on exchanges right now and just the overall kind of shrinking in circulating supply that's happening on Bitcoin. When you look at the election clarity and regulation clarity and all these other things, we're now looking forward and saying, hey, in light of all of that, next year can be even better.
Yeah,
and
the regulatory regime that just the transfer of power from Biden to Trump is the single most bullish thing in crypto that I've seen since I've been here for 8 years, right? Like, we've never seen sort of a pivot point like this in the market. And it all coalesces like with the year after the halving. The year after the halving is always the great year, right? 2013, 2017, 2021. Now we got 2025. So it's like that pattern should kind of hold true. It's gonna be wild. So yeah, TiVo, I'm excited to kick things off, man. This is, or I should say, wrap things up, but then kick things off.
Absolutely. Show notes are below as always. So if you want to jump around, we have a lot to cover. What we're gonna do first here is showcase our predictions last year. I believe we literally recorded this 1 year ago today.
One thing I'll say,
I remember. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say one thing that wasn't on my bingo card for 2024. Was for me to become a significant meme coin bull and trader.
we'll cover that. We're gonna cover it all. We're gonna do price predictions, and then kind of we touched on in the beginning there. We're gonna show you our what we said last year, and then we'll cover how we got to where we are today, and then we'll wrap it up with maybe kind of new thoughts, whether it's meme coins or kind of the projection of what we're seeing for 2025. And then of course we'll wrap up this episode with our Bitcoin price predictions for 1 year from now. So let's kick it off. Let's review. Let's go back in time and see what the three of us said exactly 1 year ago today for the Bitcoin price prediction.
I actually have no recollection of what we said, so I'm excited for this one.
I think this time next year,
oh boy,
I'm gonna go 80,000. 80,000 on the head.
You bear.
Which is,
what a,
you know,
bear.
A little less than double from where we're at right now. Today we're at 44,000 on the head. I'll go 80,000.
Yeah. I'm torn. I mean, I want to be the degenerate and say like 120. But I think that there's kind of like we talked about when everybody's scared and you know, now's the time to get in. There's something, it feels like last year was the hold your nose and buy. And that's where you're rewarded. And I'm going 88. I like double numbers. Last year we did 33. I'm going 88.
What a bear.
You know, I went a little bit conservative last year with my estimates. So this year I feel like it's only necessary that I compensate for it. I was going to go 85. But instead of being in the middle of the range or at the bottom of this range, you know what? I'm going to go above and beyond this year. Give me 102.
Let's go.
Okay. Oh. Wow. There it is. That's a first. I think that's a first for a Crypto 101 podcast. 100K
six
plus.
Six figures.
Wow, Brendan. Give him his flowers. Unbelievable.
Here you go.
Thank you.
I have a microfiber cloth. Here you go, buddy.
I think what we just hit today, on the day of recording, we are releasing this week after record, but today we just touched 108 and Brendan coming in at 102. Congratulations, Brendan. That's fantastic. I mean, you can't get much closer. Like, if this was The Price is Right, you're winning both showcase showdowns. You're walking away with cars, vacations, and the whole nine.
It's why I'm here, right? I look at the charts. I love the charts. Charts are my life. And no, you know, it's a good year for everyone that's holding crypto. I think that what all three of us agreed on there was we were looking at the future and we said, hey, things can get bigger, things can get better, and we're expecting the chart, despite any kind of turbulence, to really end the year up and to the right. And that's what all three of us agreed on. And, you know, sure enough, fast forward to where we're at today, it was an even bigger, better year than all of us expected because in light of all of us, given our predictions, Bitcoin, here it is, outperforming all of our expectations. And I don't think any of us want to complain about that.
Amen.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, not at all. And then so we already kind of kicked it off with, you know, the catalyst that got here, but just, you know, want to hear from both you guys, the absolute experts of the show, you know, how did we get here? One final time, take us through, you know, some of the biggest points of the year that you think, you know, led to the catalyst, because there certainly were a lot of them and it definitely wasn't straight up. You know, you might look back at a year chart and think, wow, you know, this is crazy. It just went straight up like a hockey stick. And that really wasn't the case.
Yeah, I mean, the ETF flows that started in January, right? You know, I remember back in January of this year, and people were pretty bearish, actually. There was like, oh, everybody's front-running the ETFs. These things are going to sell off, you know, all that kind of stuff. This is kind of the IPO. This is going to mark the top for Bitcoin. And Bitcoin did sell off, like maybe the second half of January or so, peaked out. Pull up a chart here, peaked out on the 10th, dropped significantly from, call it, 50,000 all the way down to 35,000 bucks by the end of January. And then it, you know, started that really steep ascent in March, driven by a lot of altcoin mania. And then we corrected for pretty much 6 or 7 months, like from March all the way to November, it was sideways. And a lot of that was just the regulatory combativeness of the SEC. Like, we don't need to go into it. Everybody's fully, like, experienced this, like, viscerally in the markets. Every time, like, Gary Gensler and crew would issue a Wells notice, like, the market would just sell off, mm-hmm. right? And you know, all the good actors in the space, whether it's Coinbase or Kraken or Uniswap, right? These guys were getting hammered by the regulators, and you know, they were like coming out swinging and saying, hey, we're going to defend ourselves, like we think we're doing the right thing. And so I think, you know, this year was, you know, it wasn't really that and why I think we still have so much left in the tank, it's like, this really does remind me of like that sort of 2019 period where we ran up hard and then we corrected for like 6 months, and then we had that big, you know, 2020-2021 bull run. You know, I do think that, you know, this year, although it, you know, we had a good, you know, February and March, and now we've had a good end of the year, everything in between was like pretty muddled up, and a lot of it was the regulatory uncertainty. So kind of like what Brennan alluded to earlier with the you know, the Trump trade is now back on, markets are rallying. I still think this has a lot of gas left in the tank. You know, the tech, you know, we always look at the technicals. The technicals, I think, when we were kind of at the peak in March, right, we hit 75K. You know, the price was very, very, very far extended above, you know, the 20, the 50, the 200-day moving average. And so when we kind of corrected back down and finally bottomed out around 50K in August, forming a nice inverse head and shoulders, we had bottomed right there below the 200-day and then just kicked out. And so I think there was just, you know, a lot of support, a lot of buyers, a lot of people, you know, willing to put their nuts on the line and say, hey, like, crypto is you know, oversold, and markets are kind of like, you know, they're binary, right? They go up or they go down. And so when a market was going down so much, like it was earlier this year, and it's hard to remember now because markets have gone up so much in the last, but you know, there was a period in, like, you know, the summer doldrums, which, you know, you really, really had to be confident that things were going to get better. And you know, those lucky, or not lucky, but you know, those convicted buyers, you know, are very now proven to be, you know, in the right. They made the right call. But you know, it wasn't always a sure thing. And so I think 2025 is going to be more of a kind of an easy mode for the market, but hey, could be wrong there. But I think 2025 is going to be a year where, you know, a lot of people are going to probably
probably make it. We're all going to make it that year.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. It's the ETFs were a massive factor, and we did see that kind of initial sell-off. It brought us down to, what, like 48K? And we went through this lengthy, choppy period. And I think that that was a wear-you-out, tear-you-out phase, as we like to call it over here. But what it really was this fantastic move for Bitcoin that led us to new all-time highs. We had a crazy move to the upside. Then we just needed to chill out for a little bit, kind of take a breather, collect ourselves. And then now we're really starting to see the continuation to the upside. And I think that with what we have moving forward, I'm expecting more continuation. And I don't think that that's anything that's too out of pocket or too outlandish. You know, when we look at the, I mean, what was it from start to finish? I think we did it in March. We really didn't break out until November. I mean, this was around a 6 month plus consolidation. And I think that that could easily lead us into maybe another year of running to the upside. I mean, when you look at Bitcoin and how it bottomed out at the end of 2022, we went up for the most part, you know, right to that new all-time high. We had about a year plus of running, and I think that we can see the same thing all over again. And also, if there's any reason, people have thrown around the term super cycle a lot over the last decade of Bitcoin. I think that if there is any reason for a super cycle in the crypto markets, this is the cycle for it. And, you know, we've only talked about really, you know, catalyst number one, but there's all these other ones that are there as well, Bryce.
Yeah, and it's not even like you said, like, you know, the ETFs, like the regulatory environment. Like, we have now like a full mandate, like with all the senators like that got elected. Like, I know Stand With Crypto is tracking all these senators, you know, over 200 and, you know, 50, you know, U.S. senators and congressmen are now like pro crypto. And, you know, there was an SEC commissioner that was looking for like reconfirmation that just this morning that, you know, is now no longer going to be confirmed because of her anti-crypto policy. So, like, you know, the largest super PAC during this election was Fairshake, right? Fairshake was, you know, raised $200 million. It was all dedicated to crypto, right? Giving crypto a fair shake. And so just the political pour out from crypto right now, and running through the election, that was the swing vote. I mean, that really was the swing vote. And, you know, the Democrats had alienated crypto holders and traders and companies. So this is just, yeah, like you said, the super cycle very well could be memed into existence, because now we have, you know, Elon Musk, the chief meme lord of the universe, you know, literally memeing the Department of Government Efficiency, aka Doge, into existence. And like, we can't talk about crypto this year without mentioning the meme coin craze. Like, you know, my biggest meme coin trade this year was like a 50x on a coin called SPX 6900. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just looking around finding the cultiest communities, the people that were just ravenous, that had incredible sort of virality to their memes, and that held through, you know, many bull and bear markets, up and down, up and down. And this thing went, you know, I bought it at 2 cents. It went up all the way to almost, you know, $1.05, you know, and I was able to cash out a little bit. But those kind of moves that happened in the meme coin world, like with Mog or with Popcat or with Dog With Hat, I mean, there was so many of these crazy little things that you can't ignore it. There's very clearly a lot of demand in the market for this kind of stuff. And then, you know, Moonshot came out and people could buy, you know, meme coins directly from their Apple Pay. And like, there's just, you know, now the technical sort of infrastructure and the app store and everything for people to just, you know, punt on these meme coins. I have friends and family now asking about crypto and how to invest and all that stuff. So it really is like all the makings of potentially a, you know, like you said, a super cycle. Like, what does that look like? You know, we could talk about our price predictions, you know, later on in the show. But things are looking actually, you know, really, really nice here. So
I mean,
I'm excited.
Even this is Pump.Fun. I look at the wild success that they've had stemming from the meme coin space, you know, built on Solana. You know, TiVo, me and you talked about this probably a few weeks ago, but they were able to do, I mean, this is basically like their first year at this, and they're at $240 million in revenue this year. And then they did $93 million alone in the month of November, which is crazy. And what they've been able to do is revolutionize the way that crypto is done through meme coins. So when we look at the meme coin vertical, the game was changed with them, just like the game was changed with Bitcoin and Ethereum and Polymarket and a lot of these other places and projects and companies that are out there. You know, they came in and they revolutionized meme coins as we know it. And that's where we got all of these cool runs, you know, like Bryce said with SPX. But also, you know, one that I like to play was Chill Guy, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, that was a great one for you.
It was like kind of my introduction to the scene. I'd only ever traded legacy memes, but kind of the same thing. I was just looking at sentiment, Bryce, and which communities are really kind of ravenous in nature. And, you know, sure enough, there's been a lot of different plays out there, but crypto just continues to perform and improve. And I think it's easy for us to look at this and say, oh, we're going to improve in DeFi and all these big financial ways. And sometimes people just want to have a little bit of fun. Sometimes people just want to be a part of something. And, you know, even though we love building infrastructure and we love seeing projects build towards the next generation of finance, sometimes not everything is about all the fundamentals and making money. And that was one of the big lessons that I learned this year, is that sometimes a dedicated community and fan base and mission and seeing people who are just committed to that is a very viral and convincing factor. And so that's something that I've started weighing more this year, is looking at the community and their activity and their involvement. You know, what's their social media presence like? Because we've seen the power that that's had with countless meme coins going to $1 billion+ valuation.
Think we talked about it too on the meme coin front, is it's basically, you can call it what you want in many different ways to cut it, but like, what's the difference of that between, you know, that and sports gambling? Not much. And sports gambling is huge and growing at a wild rate. I mean, we're talking tens of billions of dollars, if not in the hundreds of billions. I think here, like, Americans bet more than $121 billion in sports, according to the American Gaming Association. So, you know, there's the possibility of, you know, how big can this meme craze get? The moonshot, I think, is the best example of how you just download it on your phone. I did that, you know, NFT guy Brian McNutt showed me how to do it. I did it, and I bought Rismus, and I lost 40%. So they're definitely not all winners by any means. I just thought maybe the Rizzler would get on Rismus at the Christmas time this year, but it has not happened yet. Still holding that, but it's fun. Like, again, it was an amount of money that if I lost it all, it's the same as betting, you know, the Eagles to cover on a Sunday. It's like, it's either gonna double or more, or I'm gonna lose it. Like, that's kind of the mentality. But if you get enough people in that mentality, the market cap of these things can fly.
Yeah.
And I mean, even kind of stemming away from meme coins, one of the big catalysts and trends that I noticed this year is one that we have up on the screen right now, is just looking at Bitcoin's exchange reserves. And we've spent a lot of time this year talking about just how supply and demand works with crypto, especially how that relates to the halving. But even more so than that, you know, what we've seen is that retail has been buying up Bitcoin and holding it for long term. The ETFs have been buying up Bitcoin and holding it for long term. And what is happening on exchanges is that Bitcoin is leaving and leaving and leaving exchanges. And you can see that this blue line is since the start of 2024, and it's just been going down. And this black line is the price of Bitcoin. And, you know, it's no crazy concept that as the supply of Bitcoin is being reduced and the demand is increasing, well, price is appreciating. And that's where we've seen Bitcoin go over here from $40,000 per Bitcoin to now above $107,000 per Bitcoin. And so even if we zoom out beyond this, I mean, this trend has been happening for a couple of years now. And it just goes back to the idea that Bitcoin is becoming more rare because it has a fixed supply that can ever be in existence. And the halving reduces that, the ETFs reduce that, you and I as retail traders help reduce that. But now we're looking at a really big catalyst, Bryce, which is the potential of this strategic Bitcoin reserve and maybe other kinds of companies and governments and endowments and pensions, like you mentioned, all starting to open up to this idea of accumulating Bitcoin as well. And that's something that hasn't even been factored into this chart that we're already looking at yet.
Wow. Yeah. No, this is definitely a wild chart. it's one of those things, you know, these, you know, MicroStrategy is buying, it seems like, $1 billion of Bitcoin a week. That's got to come off the exchanges. The ETFs are buying another freaking $1 billion a week, it seems like. That's got to come off the exchanges. And so, you know, at some point that might, you know, that might reverse, but I think that's just kind of the trend. As the price goes higher and there's more buyers, there's going to be less Bitcoin available to trade. And the only thing that gets more Bitcoin onto exchanges is a very high price, mm-hmm. right? Because the only thing to incentivize a guy like me who's been holding my Bitcoin in cold storage for years and years and years is to transfer that to an exchange to sell is if the price goes up very, 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 very quickly and very high, right? And that's supply and demand. Like the price needs to go high in order to incentivize the suppliers to supply it to the market. But yeah, as the price of Bitcoin continues just to kind of grind higher slowly but surely, and there's, you know, tight market making, I think that just continues to fall. You know, that sort of available balance on exchanges continues to fall.
I think that that's a perfect point here. I'll call it halftime in the show. And so that's kind of a good summary of where, you know, basically where we've come this year. And there's a little segment I put together kind of to tie a bow, if you will, on the year for this specific show. And in this show, we put a lot of effort into it. And a lot of that effort stems from the work that you guys are doing behind the scenes, you know, 99% of the time, right? Of, you know, researching this stuff, deep diving, whether it's, you know, interviews that we publish or meetings that we don't necessarily publish, and, you know, diving into the fundamentals and the technicals of everything. And so I cooked up a couple stats for us, and we literally have all had some winners. And so, you know, I remember, you know, from kind of the team talking and Bryce and Brendan, you know, Base came out and you guys were very, very bullish on Base, and Bryce came and said, hey, we got to talk to somebody from Arrow. Can you get an Arrow podcast? And so we went and we got an Arrow podcast. It was April 23rd. And, you know, the Arrow coin dropped on Coinbase. It was pretty bullish. You guys nailed that from basically the beginning. But we didn't get the podcast out until it was like $1.62. But after the podcast, there's a beautiful dip. You could have got it at 40 cents. So you could have learned about Arrow. You could have learned about Base. And I know Brendan and I, we talked about Base consistently through the summer on the rundowns. And the price went down to 40 cents. Now it's at $2.09. Another one, Bryce, I remember you slacked me over, was we got to find somebody with SUI. SUI. That episode published July 13th at a price of 76 cents, now $4.50 plus. You could have learned about SUI on July 13th for 76 cents. Brendan, in the summer, we had a big Solana episode in the middle of the summer. That was obviously a great call. And then, you know, just to put a little feather in my cap, if you will, the infamous Robinhood call. I know it's not necessarily crypto, but we had them on at the end of last year, December 23. And I just kind of went on a tangent one day in February. It was like February 11th was the exact date. And I just was like, guys, this proxy, nobody's talking about this as a proxy. Everybody's doing Coinbase. Everybody's doing MicroStrategy. Nobody's talking about HOOD. And the price that day was $11, and right now it's 43. So that's my pitch to you guys. If you've been here for a year, 2 years, you know, 4 years of the history of the show, you know, we love having you. We appreciate you. If you're somebody that's new, you know, don't come, or please come all the time, but don't come just when the price is hot. When you think it's boring during the summer, you listen, you learn, and that, you know, we're always talking about that stuff. And Brendan and I really grind out those rundown episodes when there's not much going on. But that's where the value is, and that's where the Crypto Alpha is, to be a part of this community all the time. And then obviously, if you want more access to Brendan and Bryce, you know, we have some links down below to join the community, to see these guys and hear these guys every single day, which is where the most alpha comes from. But, you know, this podcast is free. We put it out at least twice a week, and we're really passionate about it and put a lot of hard work into it. And I just wanted to, you know, share those numbers with you guys as well, Bryce and Brendan, to show like, man, we're really putting in a lot of good work here.
Yeah, so I think my favorite podcasts this year were with the Superstate guys. Their chief legal officer, Alex Zozos, and their co-founder and chief business officer, Jim Hiltner. I mean, these guys are working on, you know, an on-chain, you know, asset manager. And basically an on-chain BlackRock, if you will. And, you know, they founded as well, co-founded with the guy who started Compound, Robert Leshner. And so they're the real deal. And it was just so interesting to hear them talk about the work that they're doing, and also how this sort of new regulatory regime is going to open up, you know, so much white space basically for innovation. And, you know, right now they're managing, you know, under $1 billion. And I could very clearly see the pathway forward for that to be 10 billion, 50 billion over the course of the, you know, the next 5 years or something. So I think what the Superstate guys were doing, or are doing, was really, really, really impressive. And, I loved learning from them. So yeah, check out those episodes with Alex Zozos and Jim Hiltner.
Yeah, that was a fantastic episode. I think for me, I really enjoyed getting to hear from some of those ETF providers, like I mentioned. When we look at 21 Shares and Bitwise, I know from 21 Shares, we had Federico, and from Bitwise, we had Matt Hogan, and actually another member from his team, who was Ryan. And they were fantastic. They provided such solid insights. And for me, you know, I don't know that kind of back end of the ETF side of things nearly as well as they do. So they were able to shine a lot of light and say, hey, guys, you know, here's why we actually expect things to ramp up and increase and do bigger and better. And they helped kind of show me what is a reasonable expectation in the years to come. And it's actually greater than what we've seen so far. And so for me, that was really eye-opening, hearing what they see kind of some of these smart money, big investors doing in the coming years of crypto, and also just kind of how their viewpoint on it is changing. And again, I'm a trader, so I think I have to mention this one, but we had Jason Urban, who's the head of trading from Galaxy.
That was a good one.
On, and I just ate that episode up. So if you're a trader as well, and you enjoy the art of trading, I think that you're going to really find a lot of enjoyment, but also just useful information from an episode like that one.
Yeah, 100%. Matt Hogan's definitely my favorite guy. I think he's just like the good guy of crypto. He always makes the time for us, and such a cool, calm, collected figure in the space. And I think what I really love about him is he's been in the ETF space for so long. So he has that experience, and he's just kind of just has that vision of, hey, this is the process. He's all about the process. And we've had many interviews with him over the course of the time I've been here. And he's just been locked in, focused, had the vision, and it's all coming true. And then definitely a runner up for me, and just kind of a side note, was the digital currency summit as a whole that we just put on last week.
Oh man.
We previewed it in the rundown last week. We had the link below for the free tickets, but that digital currency summit, we do a couple of those a year. So we'll definitely keep you updated when the next one is. But my God, what a lineup. You know, Bryce and I were talking about it after we did it, but it was an all-star lineup. Matt Hogan, Federico, 21 Shares was there. Jim Hiltner, Alex Zozos from Superstate, all those guys that we all just mentioned.
Wisdom Tree.
And tons more. So everybody that we just said were our favorite interviews of the year was all packed into a 2-day or 3-day virtual summit. And so, you know, that was by far our best one. And the momentum's here. You know, the Crypto 101 name is definitely, you know, respected in the space. That's why we get all these great guests. And the momentum for us is just carrying forward into the next year. So let's transition. We got a couple minutes left, about 10 minutes. You know, what are you guys eyeing up? What are the catalysts going to be for 2025? Get out your crystal balls. Let's talk about it. And then we'll wrap it up with our Bitcoin price predictions for 2025.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, keeping an eye on token unlocks, there's going to be a lot of inflation and unlocks throughout next year. So really making sure that people are aware of when these token unlocks are. Oftentimes, it's not ideal to buy a crypto right before a token kind of unlocks a big portion of that, because there's a big bunch of supply that could potentially hit the market. So I'm on the lookout for that. I'm on the lookout for and Brendan, I'm sorry that I'm going to take this one from you. So you got to think of some other ones. But the crypto ETFs that are going to launch, those are going to be big inflection points in the market. I also think two things with the current ETFs that will be big inflection points that will inspire more capital to come into the crypto ETFs. One is in-kind redemptions and subscriptions. You know, basically being able to contribute Bitcoin, actual Bitcoin from your cold storage to a company like BlackRock or Bitwise, and then them minting you an ETF. Right. And so then when you're also wanting to sell your ETF, being able to get Bitcoin in return directly from that company. This is something that they've tried to do in their initial applications, but Gary Gensler's SEC stopped. And I think that the new SEC will probably be more excited about doing something like that and innovating in that kind of nature. So in-kind redemption subscription, that's going to be big. And I think that's going to happen maybe not next year, but at least the year after that. I think there's a lot of tax implications as well that they probably want to make sure they're not running afoul of anything. But Scott Bessent, who runs the Treasury, he's going to make sure that, you know, things are, you know, things are dialed in. And then I would also say for the Ethereum ETF, having staking rewards. I actually have a third one here, but staking rewards for Ethereum into the ETF. So basically, people who hold the Ethereum ETF could also earn like a 4% annualized dividend or yield or interest, whatever way you want to think about it. What it really is staking rewards that would get, you know, distributed to the holders of the Ethereum ETF. So I think that's going to happen. I think that one's an easier one to bite off than the in-kind stuff I was just talking about. So that one's big. And then third, Tivo, you just mentioned Matt Hogan from Bitwise. So they've got an ETF, they've got an OTC, what's called a trust fund, basically, called BITW. And I was looking at BITW. And BITW got, the week after Trump was announced that he's the winner, BITW announced that they're going to try to uplist this this trust fund into an ETF. Mm-hmm. And so what's interesting about this is BITW is like a market cap weighted ETF that holds Bitcoin, Ethereum, and the top 10 cryptos by market cap. And this is trading at a discount to NAV. Basically, the same scenario that happened with GBTC, when GBTC was a trust fund that was traded over the counter at a steep discount, then it was listed. This is it right here. Yeah, then it was listed as an ETF, and then sort of that convergence, caused a huge boost in profits for the holders. So I think that when Bitwise actually gets listed as an ETF, that discount from NAV will converge and people will be able to profit. It's a pretty easy arbitrage opportunity. So I think that this is going to be another good one, BITW. Again, not financial advice or anything, but could be there's a little bit of cushion baked into that trade right there. So BITW could be a big one.
How do you, and is BITW, you have to be one of those qualified investors, or you can't buy it?
You have to buy it OTC. There's something called Better Markets and it's mm-hmm. listed in trades on there. I think people who have like a brokerage account are able to get it. You might need to be accredited, or you might, I'm not entirely sure. I haven't traded it myself, but
I'm sure we know one thing, Vanguard won't let you get your hands on it.
yeah.
Maybe Brendan, that's what a are prediction you for next year is that we have Vanguard opening up to Bitcoin. How about that?
That'd be great. That'd be
we
big.
Want them on our team. We want all
I'm with,
those people.
I'm with Bryce on the staking. We talked about that yesterday when we were making the rundown. I was like, I think staking is going to be a big one. And then that kind of like we said earlier, where a lot of these big funds, they have to wait until a certain amount of time until they can allocate money. And then that opens up a whole other different investing class of those dividend growers, which is an entire type of funds that manage. Like if you get Ethereum offering staking, then it opens it up to the dividend growth strategy, which is billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah. Very well said.
I agree. The only ones that I would want to include in there is some stuff that we've already talked about. The Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. I think we're going to probably see more companies, more governments, more retail people just all buying more Bitcoin. I think that this whole idea of regulation clarity with a change in the SEC. We have the new crypto czar being David Sacks,
that's
very pro crypto. We also got Gary Gensler getting the boot from the SEC in January. And we have a whole lot of others.
On day one, I will fire Gary Gensler. Whoa.
Had to play that for Brendan one more time this year. It's his favorite.
Perhaps one of the greatest clips that we have received this decade. I'm all for it. But I mean, yeah, just all these other things. I think that we can see the addition of crypto index funds, more ETFs. That's been a big takeaway for me, is that a lot of these ETF providers say, hey, we want more altcoin ETFs. And I think that that will eventually lead us towards this idea of crypto index funds. So a lot of big stuff to look forward to. I think that the sky is the limit when it comes to potential next year.
Yeah, I think MicroStrategy is going to continue to boom as well. You know, I think it was up 500% this year. It could very well do another 500%. Michael Saylor is buying up as much Bitcoin as possible. And the bond market loves buying his convertibles. So MicroStrategy is going to continue to print. I saw a guy named Jack Maulers, who's like this big Bitcoiner OG kind of guy. He was on a podcast just the other night, and he said that he's hearing rumblings of a day one executive order in regards to some crypto stuff, some pro crypto stuff. So if that day one executive order is, you know, the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve, that would be huge. So we'll see. I also saw Texas is trying to get their own Bitcoin Strategic Reserve at a state level. And Texas is the eighth largest economy in the world. So, you know, even though it's just a state, it's like that's a very, wild, very, very powerful state. So they, you know, it might as well be, you know, all of Europe.
A country.
Much.
It's a country.
Yeah, it might as well be a country.
Bryce gave us token unlocks as like, I want to, we're very bullish, obviously, and I think our price predictions will show that when we get there in a second. Bryce gave us token unlocks. Brendan, interested in your one speed bump that you could see being next year that I'm interested in your take on that.
I think my one speed bump could maybe be some institutions or hedge funds, mainly hedge funds, announcing short positions on Bitcoin. We saw what that did to the price action of MicroStrategy when it was seeing explosive growth, just moving, I think it was like 20%, 10% a day TiVo for a couple weeks straight.
Yeah, it was like the most heavily traded stock in the world at one point.
That's very crazy. Yeah.
it was. And then we saw a single group come out and say, hey, we think this is overvalued, we're going to short it. And then the price crumbled under that kind of pressure. So I think eventually we're going to get some sort of FUD like that. Maybe it's not exactly that. Maybe it's not a short position, but I think that we're going to get some sort of FUD that says, hey, this could challenge the price of Bitcoin. Maybe someone out there thinks that it's overvalued, and then maybe we see some sort of pullback.
I love it.
Okay.
I got like a quick one. I'm going macro level. I think that, we're kind of time traveling here, but the Fed had a meeting last week. We don't know the results of that yet. But basically, I think that the storyline for the Fed cuts was at the beginning of this year, everybody was like, oh my God, there's going to be 8, 9, 10 cuts. And then that started coming down precipitously very fast to about 3 or 4 cuts. And so we're balancing this inflation battle. And, you know, I think the Fed is dovish, but, you know, the numbers here of CPI and PPI have been, you know, kind of leveling out and pretty strong. And so I think that whatever the Fed's stance is going into 2025, hopefully it is dovish, but I think there's going to be a lot less cuts than people thought this year into next year. And so that's something that the market is just going to need a digestion period for as a whole, not necessarily specifically Bitcoin, but it's a risk asset play. And now that TradFi's here, I think Bitcoin could get caught up in that digestion period of figuring out what the Fed's going to do while we digest PPI and CPI. And that could give you some nasty chop and some volatility where like it might test your, you know, test your strength, especially if you're newer to the Bitcoin world and you bought at 90, 100, you know, 108, whatever. Like if you start seeing some drops below that or whatnot, it might test your conviction. So that's something to keep an eye on. And we'll certainly revisit that in the rundowns weekly. We'll keep you up to date with that. Yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our 2025 Bitcoin predictions. Now, Bryce, you went first last year. And Brendan did go last and won. So I think we'll flip it. Brendan, you go first. I'll go in the middle. And then Bryce, you're gonna wrap it up the episode with our 2025 Bitcoin price predictions. Yeah, Brendan, what are you bringing us? The champion, the crown champion. You know, winners go first. Brendan, what do you got for us? What's that crystal ball saying that was so right a year ago?
So this year, I'm running with a new all-time high of $203,000 per Bitcoin.
Wow.
However, I think that we can end off this year at 176K.
So So wait, you think you can end so
I think that we can hit a new all-time high.
We're going to peak and then pull back.
But I think by the end of the year we simmer down around 176k.
Okay.
Okay. So a little bit of bullishness, and then we'll you know, need to digest that, and there'll be some profit taking at that 200 level. I like it. My base case is 169,000. Nice. And I'm with Brendan. So I agree with you. You said 203. So okay, we'll give a base and a bull. So my base case is 169. My bull is 233. So I think we might I would love to see some absolute, you know, FOMO. And I think that's Bitcoin strategic reserve dependent on. I think we can all agree on that. That is gonna fuel a fire if that gets, you know, underneath it.
Yeah.
So 233 bull case, but a year from now I think we're gonna be sitting at 169.
Well, I'm going to blow you guys out of the water with my prediction.
Let's go.
I think we could legitimately get to a $500,000 Bitcoin this year.
I'm dead ass. Are we still going to work? Are we retiring?
Type shit. Yeah, type shit, man. I think
are you going to be around? genius. You're a genius.
Yeah. I would not be surprised just to see, you know, all the stars align. And when all the stars align in Bitcoin, crazy things happen. You have every country in the world going to want to front run, you know, the American sort of strategic reserve. You have all these different countries and companies in the different countries accumulating, you know, a strategic reserve of Bitcoin on their corporate balance sheet, because we just had the new fair accounting standard for the FASB, right? The Fair Accounting Standard Bulletin, which has a new way of accounting for Bitcoin. So now that corporations can bring it onto their balance sheets. So then you have just the general FOMO of you know, guys like me and you and just people all around the world. I had, you know, my in-laws and family members and family friends calling me up about, you know, all right, time to put, you know, 1-5% of our portfolio in crypto, and they're doing it through the ETFs. And like, Bitcoin's a scarce thing, right? And there's, you know, there's only maybe, you know, 15 million of these coins that are out there that are trading, you know, 6 million or so are lost forever. So I think that if things go the way that we expect them, it's not going to stop at 200K. I mean, in the year after the halving, if you look at 2013, 2017, and 2021, I mean, Bitcoin's up, you know, anywhere between, you know, 400 and you know, 1600%. So, you know, 4X, 5X, 16X, whatever it is, like, you know, I don't think it's going to go up maybe, to $1 million this year. But I think 500K is within the realm of my thinking of what's possible. So
you sold me. Okay. I'm changing my answer if that's okay. I'm going 233. Base case 233. I'm in. Bryce sold me. I'm in.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I do.
233 for TiVo. 233 for TiVo. Base case. I mean, 500 would be great. I'm all in. I'm all in on that, too.
As long as me and TiVo are still going to be around if we hit 500K,
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're going to retire, dude.
No, man. I do it for the culture. I do it for the culture. Dude, I'm staying here forever.
It's been an amazing year for the culture. This podcast has grown. Our socials have grown. The memes over on Instagram have taken over. If you're not following us on Instagram, you're missing out on some awesome, awesome culture. But guys, any final thoughts, Bryce? I know you got to get going here, but any final thoughts for the people, and take us home.
No, everybody just, you know, steady as she goes. Basically, stay confident in what you guys have discovered in crypto, and you guys are here for a reason. You guys are in the right place. You guys responded to your intuition. Everybody who's at home listening to, you know, wow, I think there's something interesting here with crypto. Let me dive into it. So don't get scared out. Don't get shaken out, because you know, there's still a really, really bright future ahead. Don't listen to, you know, what a lot of the mainstream media says. You know, the mainstream media is just gonna try and scare you out of your position. So stay true to yourself and enjoy the ride. Stay humble.
I love it. Brendan?
I'd say, yeah, I mean, next year. I'm hyped. If you can't tell, all of us are hyped. Next year is going to be a great year. If you thought the podcasts were great, they're going to be better next year. If you thought the price action was good, you're not ready and you're not prepared for what's going to come. And overall, we're looking upwards and to the right, not only for prices on the charts, but for crypto across the board. We're talking about adoption even over here, when it comes to news, podcasts, reports, tutorials, you name it, it is going to be a record-breaking year for Crypto 101 and the crypto industry as a whole. So yeah. I'm hyped up for it. I'm stoked. And the sky really is the limit here.
Yeah, bold up to the moon. Thanks for listening. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And we'll see you soon.
See you guys.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. So you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made. And from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Code CLASSIC24.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.